are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. We are on lesson 7 of quarter 4, lesson 7, and we've been speaking about all things mission to my neighbor, right? We've spoken about the question of questions. We've spoken about Jesus' method as well as his response to inherit eternal life. That's what we spoke about. Loving others as we love ourselves. What a difficult, but we must. It's a difficult one, that one, right? And today we're going to be speaking about all things the Good Samaritan story. And we're joined on the line. I promise I'm not going to mention his name in a funny way, by Pastor Piri. Pastor Piri, how are you?
I'm good, Zanele. How are you?
I'm good. It's, you know, the Sabbath hours are coming slowly, ne? So it must... Mm-hmm. We must be excited. It must also be heard in our voices.
Right?
We are expecting something, man. Something big. You want to let? So that's why I'm so excited today.
Me too.
I'm happy. So, Pastor Piri, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, thank you so much for time. Thank you for allowing us a few moments to just summarize the lesson this week and hope that we can invigorate in somebody a desire. We can start something in someone who will go and read and study the lesson in preparation to go and interact and exchange ideas with others tomorrow during Sabbath school. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, you know, we've spoken, you've been teaching us about all of this lesson, right? And then today we are on the Good Samaritan story. It's very difficult to be a Good Samaritan, eh? It's very difficult, but I hope the lesson will teach us something.
It is difficult to be a Good Samaritan because, like, every time I read this story, I am in the Levite.
Okay.
I am in the priest, you know, because like I'm busy. I've got somewhere to be. I need to, you know, I can't do this right now. I need to get somewhere. I don't have the time to pause to actually be a missionary to my neighbor many times. So it is difficult. Yeah, but it's possible because God says that it can be done.
Yeah.
So now this week reminded me of a story, a very quick one. One time I'm heading to church. All right. I'm dressed up. You can see this one is an SDA. It's a Sabbath. I'm going to preach. All right.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say they could see your Adventist by the way in which you were dressed. Very hot with a suit. Okay. Moving right along.
Yes. So I'm heading to church.
Yeah.
And I'm passing by this eating places that's red and all of these things. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a woman with a child sleeping right outside the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking right past, and in my heart I say, God bless this woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I continue walking. And a conviction in my heart from James comes.
Mm.
Like, what do you mean, God bless her, when you, the one who can bless her, are walking right past? And I'm like, but Lord, it's a Sabbath.
Hmm.
I'm heading to church. I'm going to preach. And God's like, no, you're going to give her food. I'm like, I don't have food. I didn't carry food. I was like, yeah, but that's a food establishment. And you can imagine how difficult it was in my heart being SDA, a minister. I continued walking past, but this thing wasn't leaving me. My heart was just troubled. The baby was awake and this woman was fast asleep. So I turn around. I walk back and I'm thinking, God, yo, it's a Sabbath. I shouldn't be doing this. I walk into this establishment, close my eyes so that nobody, just in case the brethren in the side who will see me and be like, I'm Fundis.
Yeah.
You're buying.
Yeah.
I went straight to the counter, paid for food, got food, walked out and left it with her. And then I felt peace. Mm. It's when I learned what being a Good Samaritan is. Yeah. But let's get into the lesson today.
Okay. All right. I wanted to comment on that one, but it's okay, Fundis. Let's get into the lesson.
No, please. You can. We have a few minutes.
You know, as you're sharing that story, I think some people, most of us, you know, we get conflicted sometimes when it comes to being a good Samaritan. For you, it was the issue of being the Sabbath, you know. But for example, when I bring it back here to South Africa, for example, me, when I drive, my windows are closed, shut. Like, proper, you know. The people who come knocking on your window, well, they don't really knock, but on the window, like waving, asking. I've never been moved, I won't lie, to give them something, you understand? And mostly because of fear. The fear that we have that sometimes these people, you know, they're working with other people. The more you roll down your window, someone is going to jump out from the side. So there's just a lot of things that I don't know if it's an excuse that we use or it's something else, but that we use in order for us not being good Samaritans. Because you can read someone being flagging you down, you know, needing a ride, it's about to rain. But you're like, Andizi, I'm not going to stop because the moment I stop my car, someone, you know, so some of those, I don't know if the excuses or it's just, I don't know, or it's fear.
You know, that's actually true. It's caution. And when we read the story, those were the thoughts that these men had, the priest and the Levite. They move over to the other side thinking, this is an ambush. Let me go. Right? It's the same thing. It's the fear. But I don't know. When you say I've never been moved, I'm going to ask you that the next time you are driving past, like, just pay attention to your heart. There's going to be some God is going to be like, stop for this one. You don't even need to roll down your entire window. If you can pass money through a smaller space, even they understand that the world has become very wicked. They will receive your help. But then there are moments where God will be like, just roll your window down. Because, you know, like, what benefit is it that you keep this thing and not bless this individual? There's other times when I will drive past people, go and park somewhere ahead and then walk back to come and give the help. Because if my worry is that I might lose this property, let me go and park it and then walk back. If my heart is so convicted to give, I do that sometimes. Then there's other times because my driver's side window doesn't even open anyway. So I find other ways of passing whatever I need to pass, right? But yes, it's very normal that you would have fear. And that they had these brothers that I mentioned in the story.
All right. Let's get into the lesson, because me and you, we know each other. Yes, we can just talk and not get into it.
No, that's true. That's why I knew when you said you were excited about the lesson. I was like, I think I know why. So today's summary for Thursday is the question that the lawyer answers. First of all, Jesus says, how do you read the law? And he summarizes it. And then Jesus says, well, do this and you live.
Okay.
Right? And he commends this man. Do this and you live. But he wants to go deeper. And he's like, who is my neighbor? But before he asks, who is my neighbor? This is what the lesson says. Giving all the right answers was easy for the lawyer. But doing those things was an issue 2,000 plus years ago. And now. And we know the stuff. We know the things. There's a quote from Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, I believe it is, where Ellen White says something about, let me see if I can find it. Okay, the best help that ministers can give to members of our church is not sermonizing, but planning work for them. We can be serial sermon listeners that we know the right answers, but to do is a challenge. It was a challenge then, and it's still a challenge for a lot of people now. Like, we know to give. We know to serve our neighbor, but to do. So he says, do this and you'll live. Don't just know it. Do this and you live. And then the lesson continues just letting us know that it's true that even our own leaders don't help people in the community. It is true. And listen, I would love to meet the team that did this quarter's lesson, because so they say it is true that our leaders don't help people in the community, and that sometimes people find the help they need from people of other faith. It's something that's mentioned in there, but the advice or the admonition that's coming to us is that beyond knowing, we must do.
Yes,
beyond knowing, we must do. You know, so now that we know who our neighbor is, let's minister to our neighbor.
Let me jump in right in there, Mfundisi, you know, on that very point that is there in the lesson, that, you know, we don't necessarily help people that are in need. We are not there. So I'm two ways into this,
Yeah.
One is that maybe we are trying to help them, but not to be seen. You want to lay? Whereas other religions, they do it and want to be seen, because we know we have this thing, the cell phone syndrome these days, where whenever you have a person, you know, you take a picture, you post it. Maybe we're not trying to do that. We are helping them, but we are not seen. Another part, another way that I've seen this is that we lately, not lately, but in the couple of years or so, we as Christians, we have developed this thing of me, myself, and I, and God.
And I.
You understand? To your point where those Christian values and characteristics that we should be having of helping, it's not there. Because even a church, if we take it to the communities, it's a lot. Let's take it to the church. How many of us know five people by name? Because you walk you walk in there on Sabbath, you know, very nice suit, you're sweating. Well, no, you're not sweating. In your very nice suit in this heat, you know, in your heels, you walk in there, you sit, you just greet the person. If you even greet others, they don't even greet you. You greet the person next to you, you enjoy the service. After that, boom, you're gone. But how many do we even know by name?
Right. It used to be that we knew people by name. Like it was a very real community.
Mm.
But like you said, in the recent past, it's gravitated more to me, myself, and I and Jesus, you know, which is unfortunate, and it shouldn't be like that. I'm hoping that this quarter's lesson really just wakes us up out of our sleep and gets us back in action. And you're right. It's possible that we help, but don't want to be seen. There's a woman I met who became Seventh-day Adventist because she saw how her friend was buried by the Dorcas workers and just how the Dorcas workers descended on that funeral and took over all the activities. Like none of the family members had to worry about cooking because those Dorcas workers descended and did everything. And she says, my goodness, I want to be SDA because these love each other.
Mm.
Right? There's no argument about loving each other within the church. In fact, it's mentioned in the lesson, how well are we doing with loving the person outside the church? You know, because that's very important too. There's actually a line here that says we may talk about being kind, yet others may meet the needs of people that we don't address, because sometimes we want to say, first of all, are you one of us before I meet this need of yours? It shouldn't be, are you one of us before I meet this need of yours? We should be able to just meet these needs because this person belongs to God. You know, our neighbor is anyone who has been wounded by the enemy. Anyone who is in need of help is our neighbor. Whether they are of our race, of our people group, of our nation, whoever, our neighbor is anyone who is in need of help.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically the summary of the lesson on Thursday.
And then I want us to touch on that, the question there where it's, I think it's answered by the quote in the Book of Desire of Ages saying that that's the question, who is my neighbor? You know, who is my neighbor? Is it the one who is next door to my house, or is it more than that?
My neighbor is anyone who is the property of God.
Hey.
And me, who knows the creation, knows that every moving human being, even the ones that are not moving, but every human being is the property of God.
Mm.
That's why, you know, I'm usually at pains when I hear the message of the stewardship. You know, when it's stewardship month and we're only talking about money. And then after church, people are throwing litter everywhere.
Mm.
Or maybe stewardship emphasis at a camp meeting. And then after camp meeting, the place is littered. And I'm like, you're not caring for your neighbor.
Mm.
Because there's going to be another property of God that's going to come here, who's going to have to clean up first before they can settle in because you didn't leave it clean.
Mm.
So like in caring for my neighbor, like it goes deep, this thing for taking care of my neighbor or looking out for my neighbor. It's not just somebody who is beaten up, somebody who is in the hospital, or somebody who is in need of money on the streets. My neighbor is not just my physical neighbor. Even the one who's next to me at the office is my neighbor. Even the one I meet on the road is my neighbor. So my dumping of a banana peel on the street is harmful to my neighbor. Because my neighbor might fall and sleep in there and then end up in hospital.
Or die.
Or die. So that thing, it goes deep. Like God was looking out for the world when he gave us these principles. You know, so yeah, that's my neighbor. My neighbor is anyone who is the property of God.
Yeah, ne. And then when we're looking here, it says further thoughts. I don't know if you're going to be going through that or you're going to give us your further thoughts. But further thoughts.
I will. Let me see. I want to. I would have loved to give you my further thoughts, but I won't. I will.
Why? There's no space.
Daniel, there are people listening.
Okay, all right.
They might judge me.
Okay. We have about 8 minutes, so I think you can do that one and your thoughts.
And my thoughts.
Yes.
First of all, like I was thinking to myself, how many Sabbath school classes, how many Sabbath school classes do we know that actually come and do the discussion questions? Well, from my context, we hardly ever get to further thoughts.
Mm.
You know, before you even get to Thursday, the third bell is ringing and Sabbath school is ending. I'm like, but there were further thoughts and there were discussion questions there. I just wish that we could restructure how we do Sabbath school so that people could really get the most out of the lesson.
Mm.
But anyway, the thought is this, that the world has got a lot of God's children who need love, who need the hand of God. And we have now, these are my further thoughts.
Yeah.
We have now become the hands and the feet and the mouth and the ears and the eyes of Jesus.
Mm.
When he leaves and he says, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit, he's leaving us in his place. Because now having taken up humanity, he can't be in many places at once.
Mm.
So then now he sends us, he commissions us to go. So there are people that need the hand of God to touch them.
Hmm.
We must go where those people are and go and touch them. There are people who need the feet of God, who just need somebody to visit them. So let's say, for example, tomorrow Sabbath school, you realize there's a member in your class who's not in class for the third week in a row and there's been no message from them. Just cancel what's coming afterwards and say, guys, we are going to go to their house and worship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Call them up and see if they're willing and able to take a visitor. And then go and have brunch Sabbath school in their house. Take church to them. You know, that's looking out for my neighbor. Those are my further thoughts. I'm just extending it as we can do because we're always just looking for somebody who is trying to do the string. That's the person I must help. No, this thing is wide. You can find somebody to help at every turn.
Mm.
So there's a lot of people in the world that just need the hand of God.
To
touch them. And there's people that are mistreated. And so you know somebody who's mistreated and you're a lawyer who can give pro bono hours. Why not?
Mm.
You know somebody who's going through something and you're an accountant. You can help them check their books and everything. Why not?
Mm.
You know somebody whose house is breaking down and you're a handyman and you've got some tools at home. Why not? You know, why not offer or why not extend this help to the neighbor? Because it's mission to your neighbor that begins to say, there's something about this person. There's something about this person. I'm a carpenter. And so there was a time I was doing a kitchen in someone's house and this man was an atheist.
Yeah.
At the end of my time with him, he says to me, I've never heard a Christian talk about God the way you have. And I'm thinking, I didn't even say anything different. I just talked about my personal God.
Yes.
Like I wasn't talking to him like I'm trying to evangelize to him. I was talking to him about my God, me.
Hmm.
And he says, atheist man. He says, I've never heard anyone. And his wife is a Christian believer, which said everything for me. I'm like, you've never heard anyone talk about God this way? You know? And so there are all these things we can really do. And so then I can come to the further thoughts here. I'll read something here. It says, pure religion and undefiled before the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Good deeds are the fruit that Christ requires us to bear.
Mm.
Kind words, deeds of benevolence, of tender regard for the poor, the needy, the afflicted. When hearts sympathize with hearts burdened with discouragement and grief, when the hand dispenses to the needy, when the naked are clothed, the stranger made welcome to a seat in your parlor and a place in your heart, angels are coming very near. an unanswered strain is responded, and an answering strain is responded to in heaven. You're like, this thing is the entire gospel.
Yeah. It's deep.
You know, it's the entire gospel.
Yeah.
There's that phrase, Ellen White says, a loving and lovable Christian is like the biggest argument for Christianity. We have to be that.
Mm.
We have to be that. If there's a Christian in your community, the community must know there's a Christian in my community.
And as they're saying that, Pastor, you know, we've seen situations or circumstances where people even ask, Guti, are there even Christians here? You know, when things go out. I think even now in for example, what's happening in South Africa, the moral, that one where the morals are out of the window. Where people ask themselves, are they even Christians? Where are the praying people? Where are they? You know? And because even us as Christians, our morals are out the window, you know, causing people to ask, where are the Christians?
Right. And you know, there's is it Jeremiah 32? I was sharing earlier in the week, Jeremiah 32 has a story of God telling Jeremiah to buy a plot of land just before Israel was taken into exile by Babylon.
Mm.
And the reason God said that is to announce to Jeremiah and the people that it's not going to be forever. You are going to come back and purchase land here again. It's not going to be desolate forever. And we, as Christian believers, have been shown by God that whatever is going on in the world is not forever.
Mm.
But unfortunately, we are weeping like the world. We've banded ourselves like the world in our crying about circumstances. And we are negative and toxic like the world, instead of looking at the situation and saying, God says it's not going to be forever.
Mm.
And so we must work for him, knowing that it's going to turn around at some point. So we are called literally to be in the world, but not of the world. So even where the world is mean, people are stealing and all of that, if the Lord moves upon your heart, Zanele, and you are driving, or maybe in the morning you're preparing a meal, you've put lunch packs for your children, pack an extra one.
Yeah.
There's that corner by the road, you see somebody sitting there every day. You go and park, walk back and give this person food for no reason.
Mm.
You know, for no reason, just do it.
Yeah.
We can't be like the world in our vigilance. That will keep us from actually doing mission. We must not be drawn into the way the world is doing things. We must be in the world, but not of the world.
In the world, but not of the world. Fundisi, you've just wrapped it up nicely there for us. In the world, but not of the world. And we must love our neighbors. I'm going to ask that you pray for us as we're wrapping up the whole lesson, that everything that we have learned from the questions, from loving our neighbors, from sharing the word with them, you know, so that we may be reminded of this each and every single day. We mustn't wait for a quarterly lesson to come through and like, oh, we have to speak, you know, we have to love our neighbors, but that it be, you know, written in our hearts so that we may do that. I'm going to ask Pastor, can you please pray for that?
Let's pray. Gracious God, it is not by coincidence that these lessons were allowed to be in the quarter for this particular quarter. You designed it this way. And I thank you, Heavenly Father. What you're calling us to is not behavior change. You're calling us to life change, O Lord, because you want this to come out of our hearts. You've told us in your word that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you want our hearts to be filled with kind words and good deeds, O God, and deeds of benevolence and just taking care of the needy. So God, help us, because only you can do this in us. So work it out in us, O God. Help us to do different, to do better, and glorify your name in this world. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the power that you've given us through the Holy Spirit, may we move in that power to be able to discern spirits and to be able to give where we need to give, to be able to minister where we need to minister. Holy Spirit of the living God, you who convicts our hearts of sin, may you convict our hearts, O God, even in moments when we need to be convicted of this message that we've been learning this week. May it not depart from us until we start to live the life that is prescribed in your word. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us. May you have yourself a blessed Sabbath and the blessed Sabbath. I hope that you have started cooking. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Zani. Have a good one, too.
Indeed. Bye.
Bye-bye. You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.